Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about a subject today that I believe impacts each and every life of everyone listening to this broadcast today. Living in fear. Are you living in fear? What are you fearful of? Why be afraid if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? Pastor Davis, I'm looking at the February issue of Decision Magazine put out by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and I'm looking at an article that I believe kind of touches on where we are today. In part of the article, it says, "For those believers whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there is nothing to be fearful of. Though the beast will make war against the saints, it is worshipped and served only by those whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world." In other words, this writer says, in Billy Graham magazine called Decision, in other words, believers whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, slain from the foundation of the world, inscribed in the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, will never give homage to the beast. Those that have their names written down will not submit and surrender to the socialist, Marxist, communist leadership that ultimately will redound to that man of sin called the Antichrist.
Amen. Says,
believers need not fear the rage of the devil, for we are eternally secure in Christ. In fact, this writer says, in fact, the chaos and destruction that mark the end times is actually an occasion to celebrate the soon return of the Lord and King Jesus Christ. As unbelievers faint in fear and tremble at the cosmic cataclysmic events, followers of Christ are markedly different. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up. Lift up your head, because your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
This writer goes on to say, until that time, God's people are to be watching and waiting expectantly, studying and obeying the scriptures and praying fervently for the Lord's will to be done on earth. But that's not all. We are called and commanded to take the saving grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ to as many people as possible. Go ye therefore and make disciples of 8:19-20, he quotes. Finally, he says, fulfilling that command is crucial to the return of the Lord, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Matthew 24 and verse 14. So, ladies and gentlemen, what is being said in that article in Decision Magazine is if you're saved, if you said yes to Jesus, there's no room for fear.
Amen.
There's no reason for fear. There's no rationale for fear. Pastor, I'm looking at Psalms 27:1. David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength, is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Amen.
And I don't know of anything else that gives any more comfort, any more, how would you say, sense of assurance than to understand that that's where our hope and our peace come from. David says again in Psalms 56:3, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. verse 4 then says, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh or man can do to me. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we need to do, is place our faith and trust and hope and peace and nothing else but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go over to the question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. God bless you, Pastor Davis.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yes, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Yes.
Thank God for that. Praise God. My greatest concern, anyhow, with what is happening, or with a weak leadership displayed in the White House, my greatest concern is a deal with our enemies, with the people who don't like us, who say we are the big Satan, don't like Israel. But praise God, Israel has been under God's protection way down from, and it continues to be. But America, oh my God, I'm wondering if he's setting us up, if that this deal that they're going in, if he's setting us up to be wiped out by these people who believe in a culture of death. And who hate America, maybe they would want to get at the big Satan first, as soon as they are nuclear. So I don't like, they really don't like this approach with the deal with Iran, and you know, sort of setting them up to have the what it takes to wipe out America. That's really, you know, what I'm sort of looking at. We say America is not really in scripture. Is it that America is going to be wiped out? We don't know. But this is concerned. I don't like his deal with these people who believe in it. Actually, they're religious, and they're looking for, they're here coming, some coming Messiah for them, and they believe in creating all the havoc to prepare the world for their coming. So they believe in chaos. They believe in death. And I think, I don't have any doubt that if they get the chance, get powered up, they will act without any hesitation.
Lily, let me jump in a minute. You're spot on with what you're saying. And yes. Let me just put a little icing on the cake of what you've just said.
Yes.
I understand, and I see, I believe, with clarity of vision of what Biden is doing in the negotiations for the nuclear weapon to be accomplished in Iran. The one that's the broker for that is some of the key leaders in Russia. Keep in mind, the entire time that President Trump was running for office, and when he was president, the entire four-year period of time, and precursor to that, they were saying that Trump was a puppet of Putin. Yes. They were saying about him what was really the mark of who they are.
Yes.
Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, that whole collage of individual personalities. I believe that Putin has all of the documents, all the details on the lying, the cheating, the stealing, the money laundering that took place in Ukraine through Hunter Biden, and with his daddy getting a share of that. I believe that Putin and Xi both are knowledgeable and aware of that. They hold the cards. I believe at this very moment, our president, Joe Biden, and I'll make this a dogmatic statement, I believe he is a puppet for Putin and Xi. He cannot do anything that does not meet their approval. And he is trying to make it look as though that it's America negotiating with Iran for the nuclear weapon. It is actually Russia and Xi that's wanting that to take place, because they have their focus, their eyes set on the annihilation, the absolute destruction of the postage stamp that's called Israel. And God's word is very, very real, because God's word says in the last days we're going to see nation after nation coming against Israel, and Israel become the trembling stone, if you please, the thing that makes every nation want to go against Israel. And that's what will ultimately bring about the Russian war in Ezekiel 38 and 39, with Russia leading five nations to come against Israel. It will move into a great conflagration that I believe would be called World War III. And I believe we're actually on the fast track for that. But you're exactly right. I believe we're watching this coming about at the hands of a man that should be looking out for and concerned about the safety, security, the well-being of America. But that's not his focus at all, because he is a puppet of Putin and Xi.
Yes.
Does that sound reasonable?
Yes, exactly what we're dealing with. He sold out. He has, you know, bought and totally honed by Russia, China.
That's right. So Lily, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for joining in the dialogue and discussion. Keep looking up. Although it looks dark and dreadful and devastating, we need not fear. God's still on the throne, and God is bringing about His Word. It is prophecy pre-written that we have called the Eschatological Prophetic Word of God. And so I'm thankful that He is in control. Thank you so much for your call. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I really thank you for your synopsis that you just spoke. I think you really outlined the whole thing. You know, Jeffrey Epstein, when he had all of the actors and such and Prince Andrew to his island to have sex with young girls, he filmed them all. He had cameras in every room, and then he blackmailed them. And I believe you're right. That's what Putin has done, and the Biden family is compromised. They can't do a thing without Putin okays it. But Dr. Youngblood, I'm not worried because I serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen.
And I also support the man of God, Dr. Youngblood. And I know the truth. I know that I'll be okay. My loved ones will be okay because of those two decisions. And
amen.
I just really, really thank you for what you and Pastor Davis do. That if you're about the cares of this world, the cars, the boats, the toys, and the big homes, you're going to be too busy to listen to this radio broadcast. But if you're a blood-bought human, you're going to listen. God's going to steer you to this. And I'd like everybody to remind them this is a listener-supported, that you
amen.
Can't do this huge undertaking by yourself. You're a wonderful person, but you only have so many finances. But
we need our listeners. What you're saying is we need our listeners to hold our hands up to keep us on the
air,
keep us in a position where we can have a broader and broader footprint that others might be able to hear what you're hearing each and every day.
Dr. Young, but this broadcast needs to be throughout the United States. Let's face it, there's a many city that doesn't have this truth that you're putting out, and it's desperately needed. I was watching television, Fox, and it says when Russia took over Crimea, that the CIA has been training not military in the Ukraine, but people who wanted to become like guerrillas. And it showed a clip where they were blowing, they had a line of Russian tanks. They hit the front one, the rear one, and then just started taking them out. There's a few good people in government, and evidently they had enough sense. They knew what was going to happen, just like that synopsis you gave us. You know what's going to happen. So I'm just appealing to our listeners. Don't be selfish. Don't let the broadcast end today and think, well, I'm okay. Everything's going to be okay. That's true. But don't be selfish. Share your wealth. Share your funds. I'm not wealthy. But I have enough money to share and to see this broadcast goes out. I'm just really making an appeal that America wakes up, and it's only going to be Dr. Youngblood and men like you.
Well, I'm humbled by your statements. I'm thankful for your appeal to our listeners, and I pray that they will hear and heed what you're employing them to do, and it will only be by their love gifts that this can continue to reach out and broaden the base that others might hear, as you have so well stated the appeal. And by the way, our CIA for years, as you stated, been training. And what worries me, and I understand what you're saying, what worries me is they said the CIA was training Nazis in the midst of Ukraine to be able to fight Russia. Now, I don't know why they called them Nazis, that they were training Nazis. in the midst of it. I've read three articles on that. I've not delved in a great depth, but this is what has been taking place. America's been in the midst of Ukraine now for years and stirring the pot, so to speak, and at the same time training their military men to be able to handle weapons properly. But part of that's where we continue to give hundreds of millions of dollars to Ukraine, and the Biden family cabal siphoning off laundering money, bringing it back into America, into their pockets and in their bank accounts. And I believe that's what's happening with much of what we're sending them now, is it's being washed and sent back to Hunter Biden and his family, what I call the Biden family cabal. But Tom, thank you so much for your call. Keep looking up. We know that the time is near. We know that the time is short. And so I will make the same appeal that you made, that people look up, listen up, and understand that we need to have the voice of clarity and truth, that others will have inspiration, insight, and direction based on the scriptures to what we ought to do. We ought not to be afraid today. Thank you for your call. No. God bless you. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about living in fear. Do you live in fear? What is taking place today is that which can cause even the best of us to be so fearful that we're not finding faith in God. I'm looking, Pastor, at Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Fear not," God speaking, "fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness."
Amen.
That ought to be an encouragement for every Christian, every person that's listening today.
Amen. Amen. That's a very good source of encouragement.
Yes.
And Dr. Youngblood, as you said earlier in the broadcast of when we first started out about the Matthew 6:33 verse of scripture that's there, that tells us, right, that if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things, everything we need in life will be added unto us.
Mm-hmm.
That's a promise. And then when I went over to Psalm 34, I looked at what David said, because I believe he sought the Lord with all of his heart first.
Right.
This is what he said in verse 4. He said, "I sought the Lord, mm-hmm. and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears."
That's a good statement.
"They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man," verse number 6, "cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." No matter what we go through in life, God is there to save us out of all our troubles. But we must first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the answer to the whole thing.
You got it.
Amen. Amen.
And if we do not do that, we're going to wind up in the pothole, if you want to call it that, of fear. And fear is going to displace faith, and faith is what God would have us to depend on in him. I'm looking at a text here, Pastor, in Philippians chapter 4. When we think about fear, and we've talked about that now, and the rationale behind it, the reason behind it for so many being fearful. But there's an antidote for it in the scripture. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, and I believe it's about verse 5 and falling. "Let your moderation," that is your gentleness and graciousness, "be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful," that is anxious, "worried for nothing," that is literally don't worry about anything, "but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto the Lord." And this is the answer to it. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus."
Amen.
"Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." It is the thinking on, the pondering on, that which is pure, honest, and just before the Lord. That displaces fear. It is that which is needed in hearts and lives today, especially in a world that is stressed and torn with turmoil as we're finding today. I'm looking at an article that says, "What is the key to not being afraid according to the Bible?" Everyone is afraid, this writer says. Everyone's afraid of something, about something or someone. We live in a world that offers plenty of chances to fear. Here's some of the answers to that, this writer says. Number one, he says, trust in God.
Amen.
Placing
Amen.
Our trust in God.
Amen. That's
and
first
the
thing.
Second thing is don't focus on fear.
Amen.
Trust in God. And we're talking about now the antidote to fear is to trust in God, understand that He's on the throne, that He's in control. And I know, by the way, don't get me wrong, in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the turbulence, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the wee hours of the morning and dark, dark days, it is easy to lose our focus and not recognize that God is still on the throne, that God is still in control, that God is still in charge. But we need to trust in Him.
Amen.
This writer says, trust in God will counteract anything that's called fear. If we focus on His Word, if we trust in His Word, if we meditate on the Word of God and place our focus on Him and not on fear. This writer says to focus on the source of fear is to endanger and engender more fear. To focus on the one who takes fear away is to find solace and peace. We can choose to fix our thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. We think about these things. They're excellent and worthy of our praise,
Amen.
The scripture says. So, Pastor, what I want our listeners to understand, I'm not saying that I am not trying to intimate that I am blind and do not see that we're living in dark, dangerous, devastating days. It's what the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy called perilous times. That word perilous means dark, dangerous, difficult, deadly, destructive. That's the day that we're living in. So I'm not trying to whitewash that at all, not trying to eliminate the enormity of that at all, and it's getting worse and worse, not better and better. But as we go through these days, we need to do so hanging on to God, placing our faith and trust in Him, and do not focus on fear. And thirdly, this writer says, not only we need to trust in God and not focus on fear, but we need to choose to praise Him.
Amen. Amen.
Praise Him.
Amen.
Talk about that for a moment. Why should we praise Him? How should we praise Him? What should be when we have difficulties and darkness and dangers? What does it mean to praise the Lord in those days? David did that. You read
Amen.
Several of the Psalms earlier. Elaborate on that for a moment.
Amen. Well, that word praise, Dr. Youngblood, comes from our English word, appraise.
Appraise.
Mm-hmm. What kind of value do you put on Him?
Mm-hmm.
Do you hold Him in highest regard? He should have first place in your life, in everything. So when you put that kind of praise upon God, when you have appraised Him to be worth more than anything in your life, even life itself, and know and understand that life comes from God. He is the life giver. In fact, Jesus said that He is the way, the truth, and the
Amen.
Life.
Amen.
So everything we need in life, even life itself, must come from Him.
That's right.
So when we place that high value upon Him, that will make us want to serve Him. And we do so out of a heart full of love. When I went to the book of Proverbs, Dr. Youngblood, and I found this to be so important for us to say on today. Proverbs 28:1 say, the wicked flee when no man pursueth.
Mm-hmm.
That's people that don't know God.
That's right.
They're always on the run. But listen to what he turned around and said. But the righteous are bold as a lion.
Amen.
I like that.
That's right.
When you look at that lion, he doesn't fear anything. When he growls, he expects for everything to get on the run.
That's right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And this is how we can be in God. We don't worry about demonic suppression.
Mm-hmm.
We don't worry about demonic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
We don't worry about how the unrighteous are going to treat us.
That's right.
When we got God on our side and we're on the righteous side, He has promised us already that He's going to supply all of our need according to His riches and glory.
That's right.
And then when I went to verse number 14, this is what it had to say, Proverbs 28:14. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief.
Right.
Amen. So all fear can bring is a bunch of confusion and mischief. And it will have us in life, and I'm talking about Christians, I know some today, have to depend upon medication to bring us back under control. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not coming down on anyone that takes medication. If that's what it takes for you, that's okay. That's wonderful.
Sometimes it becomes a crutch rather than depending on God.
Though. Amen. Don't depend on that. We're trying to get your focus on depending upon
right.
God. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm looking at Psalms 56 and verse 3. David says, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee.
Amen.
Talking about God. Verse 4, In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what the flesh can do unto me. And then in the 11th verse, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. That was the key to it with David. He says, whenever I'm afraid, I put my trust in God.
Amen.
Whenever I'm afraid, I realize that God's in control, and I then become unafraid of what man can do. In fact, in this particular article, this writer says, remember the future God has promised for his children. We're talking about the antidote for fear is to remember what God has promised us. He's promised to meet all of our needs. I read that scripture earlier in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 19 through verse 33. In fact, it is very, very clear in that text that God has promised to meet every need. We need to understand also that he'll not fail nor forsake you until all the work and the service that he has for us has been completed, according to the scripture. And so we need to also combat the temptation to fear with our spiritual battle that we're in. We're in a spiritual battle. In fact, in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 and following, in the midst of the spirit, and listen, every one of us, every Christian, we need to understand, many Christians, Pastor Davis, will sing the song, Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching as to War with the Cross of Jesus going on before.
Amen.
And not even realize that we're in a war.
My.
It is a hand-to-hand daily combat that we face, but we need to understand that God is the one that's the one that leads. He's the one that is the captain of the host, if you will, according to the scripture. But in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the Apostle Paul says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. We need to put on the breastplate of righteousness, standing in the armament of truth, having on the full armor. It's an impossibility to face the enemies of the child of God and not be armored in the word of God and the helmet of salvation. So, Pastor, we got about 40 seconds left on the broadcast. Wrap it up and challenging and encouraging our listeners today to cease fear and to faith God, praise him, and trust him.
Amen. And as you just said, Dr. Youngblood, in the description of that armor, if you notice, there's nothing to cover the back.
Right.
Why? Because you're always moving forward in God.
Not backing up.
God wants us to face, amen, the enemy, face up. Amen. Face forward.
That's right.
Why? Because he is fighting for us.
Absolutely.
Not only that, amen, he's allowing us to, amen, assist him, amen, in getting the victory. And I just love God for that.
Amen.
But when we go to Hebrews 10 and 35, and I want you to be encouraged on today and catch hold of faith and not fear. It said, Hebrews 10, 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Verse 36, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Looking forward to meeting next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Bible Q&A and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.